Hello, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, and this is Think Smart with TMFG. Hello, today I have a special guest on our podcast, Mr. Carlo Cancino, who is also a senior advisor at the McClellan Financial Group. Carlo, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Rob. Happy to be here.
I understand this is actually your second podcast. I happen to be away and at another point, and Mike brought you on as a special guest, and I guess you passed, so you're back again.
Yes. No, I'm, like I said, I'm happy to be here. And if I'm not mistaken, that first podcast that I did was the most downloaded, I believe.
I'm not sure on that. We may have to check the data on that and see how many downloads were actually on it. I'm sure we have that information somewhere.
No, I'm fairly certain.
Unfortunately, Mike isn't able to join us this week. His sister is getting married, and the wedding happens to be in Hawaii. So Mike has headed off to Hawaii for 10 days. So I'm sure he is enjoying the good life down there.
Aloha to Mike.
Absolutely. Carlo, today I thought what we would do is review one of the tools that we use at the McClellan Financial Group called Pursuing a Better Investment Experience. And what it says is these ideas or concepts are key principles to help improve the odds of success as an investor. So I thought we should explore them.
Absolutely.
I'm going to start with the first one, which is called embrace market pricing. When you hear that, what does that mean to you?
When I think about market pricing, I think about getting the accurate price for a specific company. When you think about the global stock market and the tens of millions of trades and the billions of dollars that get put through, all of those buyers and sellers come together, the accurate price must be attained with so many different buyers and sellers in the market. That's what I think about embracing the market pricing.
So it's interesting when you look at it. Every day in the world, there's about $600 billion of stocks that change hands. Every single trade has a buyer and a seller. So if you were going to sell shares of Apple today, let's say you wanted to sell 100 shares of Apple computers today, you would have literally 2 million or more potential buyers that might be looking to buy your shares that you want to sell. Whereas think of a house. If you were going to sell your house, you'd be lucky to have 20 potential buyers for your specific house in your specific neighborhood at the price you're at. Does that make sense to you?
That absolutely makes sense. And it's funny that you mentioned that. I am in the process of selling my house, and I'm hoping to have that many buyers coming to the table to price my house accurately. I definitely don't want to be undervalued when it comes to selling it.
So embrace market pricing. You know, if we go into a store and we see that, lettuce is on sale for 99 cents, well, that's the price today. Every day it's a little bit different. You know, you may have a cold front go through and next week it's $1.29. But we accept market pricing all the time. Sometimes we just don't accept it when it comes to stocks. We think a stock might be worth more or less than it's worth today.
And when we think about that, our investment strategy, we believe in market pricing because we believe in efficient markets. There is no, because of the millions of buyers and sellers out there affecting the market pricing, it has to be the right price.
That day.
And tomorrow, exactly.
And tomorrow there's new information, it'll be a different price.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first one. The second one is called don't try and outguess the market. And really, this goes back to some research that's been done for probably 20 years now. And what they do is they look at 20-year data, and they start out with, well, how many mutual funds in the U.S. used to exist 20 years ago? How many of those funds still exist today? And then how many of those funds have actually beaten the market or the index over that 20-year period? So what do the numbers look like?
Well, from data that we have, we are showing from 1999 to 2018, and this is U.S.-based mutual funds. So let's talk about, there's typically two types of mutual funds. There's equity-based mutual funds and fixed income mutual funds. So let's focus on the equity-based mutual funds. At the beginning of 1999, there were 2,414 different mutual funds in existence. Over that 19-year period, 42% survived, meaning they hadn't gone, they hadn't been folded into the mutual fund company. They still existed and they still had unit holders holding them. That is less than half.
So almost 60% closed down. And then of the 60% that survived, how many turned out to be winners?
23%. One-fifth of the survivors ended up outperforming the market.
In other words, you have an 80% chance that you're not going to survive or outperform.
And that's exactly it. And that's a fairly long time horizon. That's some credible data that we're looking at there.
Is it any better on the bond side?
Funny you should ask. No. So at the beginning of 1999, there were 1,826 different fixed income funds. Similarly, only 41% survived. And of those 41%, 8% beat the market.
So you're now up to a 92% chance that you're not going to survive or beat the market.
That's exactly it.
So then I always go, okay, so I might get lucky and be able to pick, you know, the right Canadian fund. Can I pick the right U.S. fund at the same time, the right international, the right emerging markets, the right bond fund, the right investment grade bond fund, the right real estate fund? I mean, mm-hmm. My chances of getting it all right or even half right when I've only got a 8 to 20% chance anyways, it's pretty remote. So why do people still think that you can outguess the market?
No, it's funny you say that. Even today, I had 4 or 5 client meetings, and these are clients that I've had for quite a while. And I thought that we had been doing our job of educating about not outguessing the market. And to their point, yes, everything has been volatile. So the question is, where do we go with the market? Should we be getting a little more conservative given the current volatility? And I have to go back. It must sound like a broken record. But no, we don't try to outguess what the market's going to do. We don't try to speculate what we think is going to happen. We don't make changes in out of fear of what's happened in the market. We just trust in the fact that the market's going to work.
So let's go to the third point, which is called resist chasing past performance.
That's always difficult to do.
Well, because you think you've found the superstar. So you've found, you know, if I use it in hockey terms, you've found the 40 goal scorer, and you bring them onto your team and suddenly they score 20 goals. Well, the same thing happens in the mutual fund or investing world. You go find out someone's got a 12% return for the last 8 years, you bring them into your portfolio, and suddenly they have a 2% return for the first 5 years.
It's literally listed in every prospectus. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.
So here's the research. The research says that if you were in the top quartile for the last 5 years, your chances of being in that top quartile for the next 5 years is only 21%. In other words, there's a 79% chance you're not going to be in that top quartile for the next 5 years.
That's it. And the same is on the fixed income side, similar to what we saw when we didn't when we were talking about survivorship with the funds. On the bond side, if you were a top 25% quartile performer in a given year, only 28% of those top quartile were in the top quartile the following year. So that's a 72% chance that you will not be a top quartile performing the following year.
So that was a pretty easy decision for us to eliminate active management. The research basically didn't hold up that active management was delivering better than market returns.
Now, I'm not going to say that there are not managers out there that could get lucky or are skilled enough to outperform the market, but even in Canada, how many Canadian equity portfolio managers are there? How many US equity portfolio managers are there? There's hundreds. Which ones are the ones that are going to outperform?
Absolutely. Tough to get them on your roster.
Yeah.
Let's go to number 4, which is called Let the Markets for You. What's Let the Markets Work for You? What's the concept behind that statement?
When I think about letting the market work for you, again, it goes back to not trying to guess what's going to happen. I break it down this way. What are we actually doing when we invest in the market? We're investing in companies. Companies are in the business of making money for their shareholders. So when you are able to spread that risk around to all markets, you're not trying to find the winner. You're just taking a piece of each of those companies and riding the growth with them. Now, there are going to be times where companies go insolvent or bankrupt, or there will be companies that completely shoot the lights out in a given year with performance. But that is where we win. When we have a piece of everybody's, every company, and we're not guessing on the winners or the losers, that's how you let the market work for you.
So if you look at, you know, the simple concept is that equities or stocks create wealth. They create far more wealth than buying government bonds or corporate bonds. They create far more wealth than investing in GICs or cash. And equities are really the only thing that keep you ahead of inflation over time. So that's really what let the markets work for you means. The last one is probably the more complicated one. Could probably do a podcast on it alone, but today let's just touch on the concept of consider the drivers of returns. What it means is that there are a few things that help to put the odds in your favor. And that's all you can do when you're investing is try and put the odds in your favor. What are some of the ones that have been determined that are have existed in all markets, have existed over time, and are pretty reliable?
So when I look at equities and the reliability of those drivers, there are really three. And the first one, it sounds simple. Not necessarily simple. It's company size or market capitalization. Over time, small cap companies or smaller valued companies outperform large cap companies. There's a premium. Not every year will you see small cap companies outperform large cap, but over time, there is a consistent premium that you'll receive.
So basically, what you're saying is small companies do better than large companies. Is there a risk involved?
Well, that's a great point. Risk and return is related. In order to achieve that higher rate of return, there will be a little bit more risk taken. It's common sense. A smaller company may not be as established as a larger company and may have a higher probability of going insolvent. So you take on that risk, but you are rewarded long term.
So the second one is called relative price. It's often referred to as value versus growth. Which is the better place to be over time?
Value companies have shown a premium to growth companies. And I know right now we're seeing a huge focus on the FANG stocks. FANG being Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google. Those are companies that would be growth-oriented. They do not pay, well, Apple now pays a dividend, but Amazon does not. You're essentially paying a higher price for these companies with the expectation that their earnings will continue to grow into the future.
So value does better than growth over time. And I guess the last one is high profit companies do better than low profit companies. And that makes some sense. If a company has a pretty good profit margin, it's going to do pretty well over time.
Yeah, exactly.
On the fixed side, there's also a couple of drivers. Term is important. How long are you buying your bond for? Is it 1 year, 5 years, 10 years or more? What's the credit quality? Is it a AAA bond or is it a BB bond or BBB bond? And finally, currency. Is it all in Canadian dollars? Is it US? Is it Euro? Is it Yen? All those factors play a role. So we've covered five. Embrace market pricing. Don't try and outguess the market. Resist chasing market performance. Let the markets work for you. And consider the drivers of returns. I think that's pretty good for today. I think maybe what you and I should do is get together again next week, and we'll talk about what are the other key success factors in putting the odds in your favor of having a good investment experience.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for part two.
Carlo, thanks for joining us today. This is Rob and Carlo with the McClellan Financial Group and Think Smart with TMFG.
You have been listening to the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources, however, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.